Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 30th, 2023. And today we are reading from the Big Book. You'll find us in the chapter Working with Others on page 103. We're going to finish out that chapter today by reading the last two paragraphs, beginning with Someday We Hope and ends with We Have To. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Letty G., the 12 Traditions, Elaine B., and reading the text today will be Shelley E., and support with 164 will be Lynette P. Greeting newcomers this morning will be Becca R., and at the last 2 minutes of the hour, listen for the announcements. Betsy H. will give those to us today. You don't want to miss that. Stay to the last moment. So share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that was Tuesday, August 28, 2023, is 20580, 20,580. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, share ID number is 20582. That would be for Wednesday, August 30th, 2023, 20,582. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those that still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I would like to ask Letty G. to please read those 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Letty.
Good morning, Mel, and good morning to all. I'm Letty G. I'm from Nevada, and I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Letty G. from Nevada, for reading those 12 steps of OA. I'd like to now ask Elaine B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, thank you. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence OA, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Elaine B., for reading the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and that's the one that's speaking at the time. Everyone else, please star 1. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others. You'll find us on page 103. We're going to finish out that chapter today to start a new one tomorrow. We begin those last two paragraphs with someday we hope and ends with we have to. And I would like to ask Shelley E. to please read those two paragraphs this morning today to get us started and share her experience with utilizing those. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater back in northern Michigan where it's nice and cool, much cooler than Texas. The Big Book, page 103. Someday, we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem. But we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Drinkers will not stand for it. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we've stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. When I have a sponsee, or even for myself, because I'm the mother of addicts, and also obviously an addict myself, this page is a very important page for me. I start at the top. We're careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. I myself found myself in that hatred of drinking and addiction and not judgment as much as just a sadness of the for my children. But I also was that mother before I knew better that would want to sit them down and say, "No, let's talk about this. How can I help you? What can we do? Do you think you have a problem?" I mean, I just beat a dead horse to death over this. Once I entered program, I realized my error, and then I realized, why are you looking at other people? You have your own self to look at. And so for me, this page is a very important page in the big book. I take my sponsees to it a lot because I find a lot of my sponsees have similar problems. They have other people in their life that are addicts. And I try and help them remember, we're just going to worry about ourselves. I have written on this page, when we are sponsoring or others, and that would be family members or just other people that are addicts or other family members of addicts, don't try to convert. No preaching, no judging. Tell your story. Stress that problems were often of our own making, for myself, always of my own making, but no preaching. I have it underlined. And then it tells me to go over page 94 with a new prospective sponsee. And so I was like, why do I have that written there? Page 94, what is it? Well, I go back to 94, and right at the top of the first paragraph, I have written theme of the chapter. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal and how you straightened out your past and why you're now endeavoring to be helpful to him. I won't read that whole paragraph, but I thought that was interesting. And that must be the way I do it with my sponsees. I'm sure I do. It's just I don't remember every page when I do it. And lastly, I wanted to say another thing that helps me with my family, with my sponsees, is on in For Today, our little reader for today. It's December 28th, I believe, and it's a prayer that I always pass on to people, and I try and remember for myself when my children are suffering, or family members or friends, and it is, I love you, I bless you, I release you to your own indwelling presence of God. For today, I turn over responsibility for the lives of others to the same higher power within each of them that manages my own life. Anyways, I look forward to what everyone else has to say about this. Thank you for allowing me to read, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Shelley E. from Texas and Michigan now. Anyway, I'd like to open up a line for additional comments on those two paragraphs, the last two paragraphs on page 103 in our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you'd give me your first name, the first letter of your last name, and the state you're calling from, I can take a lineup of folks. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might also share their experience as well. I'm ready.
Mary T. from Arizona.
Mary T.
A-T. Robin P. in Savannah, Georgia.
Robin P. Savannah, Georgia. Okay.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Carrie W. from Tennessee.
Carrie W. from Tennessee. Well, it sounds like we have a nice pause there. Let's go with Mary T., Robin P., Donna B., and Carrie W. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you for your service. And this is Mary G., as in grateful, in Arizona. And the first sentence, you know, someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to understand the gravity of the alcoholic. You know, someday I hope that OA will be the first thing that doctors think of rather than surgeries or pills or other quick fixes that we've all, probably some of us have tried or been, you know, advised to do. Because I find so many people who have done that are still, they're still in the compulsion, you know, they're still in the terrible part of the disease. And, you know, my attitude has to be one of helpfulness. You know, I cannot have an attitude of superiority that, you know, well, this is the way to do it. It's the only way to do it. It certainly is the only way for me. And I knew that from the day I walked in. But, you know, I can't have that attitude of I know better than you. And so, you know, I love the promise that is in the next paragraph. We have stopped fighting anything or anybody or anything. You know, I came into these rooms 34 years ago just raging mad, and I didn't even know I was raging mad. I just thought arguing was a great thing. I was a very good arguer. I kind of called it debate in my mind, except for, you know, when you're talking with somebody, it's not debate, it's arguing. And I love that promise, because today I have a serenity that I never knew in my life before. I didn't know what that peacefulness was. I know when my center is upset or I lose that serenity. And I have a way of dealing with that today that is the 10th step. You know, I can do a review at night at the 11th step if I forgot something. You know, it's just a wonderful way to live life. I don't have to use food. As it says, you know, bottles were only a symbol. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Mary G. from Arizona. Next up is Robin P. She's in Savannah, Georgia this morning. You have 3 minutes.
Hi.
And Donna will follow her. Hi, Robin.
Hey, thanks so much for your service and everyone else who gives service on this meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Savannah, Georgia. In the middle of a hurricane and tornadoes warning. So, woo! I love that it says, after all, our problems were of our own making, and the food was just a symbol. And we've stopped fighting anyone or anything. We have to stop fighting anyone or anything. Acceptance is the answer. You know, I used to never think that I was such a victim. And I grew up in a lot of child abuse, and so I just thought, oh my gosh, that I am a victim. And I had to heal that. And I got to stop fighting anyone or anything. I have a really good relationship with my family members today. It's a miracle of this program, working the steps and living in 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, also my problems were of my own making. I would sabotage so many things and go hide in the food. And I show up today. And we've been traveling around. We decided it looks like that we would like to live at least half the year in either the U.S. or Europe. And I'm sensitive to electromagnetic field radiation. It's been the most painful part of my adulthood. And headaches, memory issues, and tinnitus, I can hear, and just all these symptoms, sometimes tremors, and it's been really painful. And I've had to do a lot of step work on it, and we just God is showing us where to live in the healthiest place possible. And it takes so much tenacity and prayer and perseverance and not fighting anyone or anything. And, you know, if I get stuck in the resentment, I get stuck. And I just get to keep surrendering. God, show me your will and help me to do it. Praying only for knowledge of your will for me and the power to carry that out. And to improve my conscious contact with God and praying only for knowledge of his will. And it's really such a discipline. And I get to grow up or grow out. And I choose to grow up today. And so I feel like I live this paragraph. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for Vision. I'm so grateful for all the people who do so much service to keep this meeting going. God bless all of you with a very blessed, abstinent, safe day. And thanks for your prayers about the hurricanes and the tornadoes. And I know God's got us. So God bless everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P., currently in South. So I guess Savannah, Georgia. Next up will be Donna B. And I wanted to let folks know in about 6 minutes, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on the last two paragraphs on page 103 in the big book. Starts with someday we hope and ends with we have to. We're going to finish out that chapter today. But in the meantime, we'll listen for 3 minutes with Donna B., followed by Carrie.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And I recently had an experience of kind of being on the other side of this. We were signed up to host an 18-year-old girl from another country as part of an exchange program. And she came to visit our home Monday evening and with the facilitator of this group, and to see her room and to see our house and to meet us as a family and to get a sense of what we're like. And I felt that it was important to share candidly with her about who I am and what my lifestyle is. And I shared that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and how that impacts the food that I prepare in our home and you know, let my family members talk about kind of what our lifestyle is like. And ultimately, she chose not to live with us. And that was really painful. I felt that I was being rejected, that my whole lifestyle was being rejected, my family was being rejected, my home was being rejected. It was very, very painful. And I've written a 10-step, and I've had the opportunity to talk with fellows and also with, you know, my peers and family outside of the rooms. And when one of my fellows said to me, like, number one, you know, it's amazing that despite this disease, which is one of isolation and hiding and lying and stealing and cheating, that I was, and I chose to be very open and very transparent. And that another possible miracle is that I planted a seed for her. I don't know where her life will take her or what opportunities may avail her. And I lived my truth. I was honest. And yeah, so thank you for letting me share that with you this morning. I pass.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Next up is Carrie W. from Tennessee, and then we'll open up the lines in 3 minutes for additional comments. Good morning, Carrie.
Hey, this is Carrie. I really don't know. I really don't have very many comments for this because I'm fairly new, and I'm just now getting to understand the big book and stuff. But one thing I will say, and hopefully it applies to the paragraph, I have experienced lately what it's like to be present, and it's such a beautiful feeling. And I saw things that I wouldn't have seen if I would have been in bed in a food fog. And I just appreciate it so much, and I'm appreciating getting closer to my God and letting Him take over. And there's some days where I don't want Him to, and there's some days where I do with all my heart. And so I'm just trying to, I'm trying not to reject Him and do things my own way, because every time I do things my own way, I mess up really bad. So I just want to thank everyone for their shares and being there for me to listen to what I have to say, and for making me feel part of the family. Thank you, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Thank you, Carrie W. from Tennessee. Now the lines are open for additional comments. You're going to find us at the last two paragraphs on page 103 in your big book, and it begins with "Someday we hope," and ends with "We have to." There's a great amount of good meaty stuff in those two paragraphs, so let's learn from those.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Miriam H.
Miriam H.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. M. Okay, with that pause, let's go with hey, Dion. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Nancy G. from New Jersey.
Tell me the name again. Nancy, is that what it was? New Jersey? No, I'm going to go with that then. So we have Wendy, Miriam, Joe and Marie, Dion, and Nancy. First up is Wendy. Good morning, Wendy. From Colorado, I believe.
Yes, Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much. Let's see.
recovering 3 weeks now. Thank you, God. You know, you're in a different world when you're in the recovery, when you're when I'm in the recovery. So here's what I want to say. First of all, these are almost like promises. Our problems are of my own making. That is the most freeing thought I've ever seen, right? Because that means that it's not you, right? And I'm a blame machine. And so I get to be free of being a blame machine when I find out in this program my problems are of my own making, right? They retaliate because of something I've done. Thank you, God, that I know that. And then it says here, besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. When I saw that in the 10-step promises, it hit me between the eyes because I'm like, what? No. I'm a fighter. I don't know that I can let go. Stop fighting. This is a promise. Like, this is saying, this will happen to you if you work this program. We will stop fighting. That is, talk about freedom, right? Like, I get to stop fighting. This is phenomenal. Last night I heard a speaker say one of the barriers to recovery is that we hold on to resentment. If we hold on to a resentment and I won't let it go, right? I won't let go of it. Those resentments, for 8 seconds, they taste delicious. They're like binging on something delicious. But again, they only last 8 seconds. And then after that, they don't feel really good. I mean, God makes that so, right? God makes it so that I will be deeply uncomfortable, itchy, and scratchy if I continue to hold on to a resentment. In this case, let's just say my mom, right? Like, how does that serve me? What do I get from that? And again, it's like binging for 8 seconds. It feels good, and then it doesn't. And I know that because, you know, God wants me, how do I say this, to return to how I'm meant to be, right? This program is how God needs me to be, right? So that's, as everybody's saying, being of service, deeply surrendered. Dear God, please let go of this resentment. Please let go of my need to fight, right? And then finally, I'm going to be in a car for 5 days with my son and my ex-husband. We're taking my son to college. And this program allows me to not eat over it, but just weep over it and cry and call you guys. It's awesome. But here's the deal. I get to tell them. Oh, that's my time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next up is Miriam H., followed by Joan Marie.
Hi, this is Miriam H. here. Thank you, everybody, for being there. And thank you, Melanie, for hosting the meeting. These paragraphs, you know, when I came into OA many years ago, it was just at the beginning, and we didn't have literature, so we had the big book, and we had the AA 12 and 12. And, you know, it was difficult for me because I was way young and never drank. But, yeah, I was a compulsive overeater. And I'm so glad that I have come back to a place in my program where I can see that this big book belongs to me as a compulsive overeater. And I relate to every line in this. You know, I read the paper, a local paper, and in the front page, bottom left corner a couple of weeks ago, there was an article where they were writing about how food disorders are the number one problem in this country. It is the final frontier that they have not conquered. And I skimmed the article. There was no mention of Overeaters Anonymous, but it validated for me that, you know, people are starting to understand this binge disorder is just something beyond my comprehension or beyond something that I can fix on my own. And I also had an experience recently that just totally sings to this about stopping to fight anybody or anything. I've had huge resentment against one of my siblings, and they moved away. And a couple of weeks ago, I hadn't even visited them. I mean, she had been coming to my place, but I hadn't been coming to her. So, you know, I went up to her turf about 150 miles away and spent a few really nice days with her. And the reason it was a nice day was because I had done my step work. I had let go of the resentment, and I had seen her as just another child of God and my sister that I love. And that was so important to me. And that's been a gift of the program. So I hope that I have no bitterness and hostility as I approach another compulsive overeater, and that I let it begin with me, and that I can be an example of the program
that
today.
Fine.
Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Miriam H. from California. Next up, Joan Marie M. for 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Joan Marie M. I'm from Las Vegas, a recovered compulsive overeater. There's a lot impacted in this particular paragraph, as it is in all of the book, but so much has stood out for me. The first one is an attitude. Okay, so my attitude towards everyone, family, friends, wherever I go, has to be caring and consideration. Bitterness and hostility takes me nowhere. And our problems were of our own making. It was an internal spiritual problem that I didn't have the right attitude, the right frame of mind. I thought that I had to have the answers to everything, and I had to know that I had to know that I can't carry the world on my shoulders. It's only God that can do this for me. So my attitude has to be that of helpfulness to others, showing that I care, really care, because I've been in the same predicament for so many times, and my desire is to be of help in any way that I can. And no expectations, just loving and caring and trying to get the message of recovery. And that I was at one point in my life in the beginning, because I was raised in an alcoholic home where there was a lot of raging and I had to be quiet and not seen. But when I got out, all that anger and rage just built up inside of me. And so I was a rager. I was fighting everybody and everything. Oh, my God, what a difference. Yes, oh, my God, what a difference. Today, I don't fight anything or anyone. And I have to do that, because that's where I keep my sanity. That's where I keep my serenity. And if I'm in an attitude that is not of that, I lose that. I practice peace over power, and the love of God helps me to do that. And so again, I have to say that I have to keep on being in this book, being in vision, and that works. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. From Las Vegas, Nevada. Next up is Dion R. from Ohio.
Good morning. Good morning, Mel. Good morning, everyone that's on the line. This is Dion R. from Ohio. Very grateful to share on this paragraph what I got out of it. It's almost in tune with everyone else. And it's just amazing how a few paragraphs can bring out so many identifications in our from this paragraph. And, I can I look for the similarity. I can identify, in other words. I remember that, yes. I remember also the part that I working with others, it reminds me of when I wanted to help my family, right? I wanted them to be able to come to Overeaters Anonymous, get this good program, and, you know, you'll be happy, joyous, and free. And at the same time, when I'm with them, when I was with them in family functions, I'm steady trying not to look at the food, but then building up resentment because I can't eat it. I'm staring at it, you know, and it was like, ugh. And or if they offer me something, ugh, I can't have that. You know, really putting an emphasis on it. What I'm getting from this paragraph basically is I can't, what I love about Overeaters Anonymous, especially working through the big book and with visions, is the food, back then when I had that attitude, it was of intolerance or I'm different, I'm better, trying to show you and the world I'm different. Is that I was white knuckling. I was just dieting. I hadn't surrendered. Once I start working the steps, the steps start working me, if that makes sense. But yes, it's no longer a fighting or hostility, whether they're eating or not, whether they choose to or not. That's not my business. My business is to be of maximum usefulness to others. And the only way I can do that, because after all, Dion, you start eating like that years ago. It's not, you know, you can't blame them if they still enjoy it or they diet, whatever they do, that's their choice. But I do know, as it says in the bottom paragraph, all caps, you know, our problems are of our own making. Dion's problems were of her own making. Food was only a side effect of what was really going on with me inside, because I either had to stop fighting everyone, everybody, everything, and surrender to my higher power, which I found through these programs of Overeaters Anonymous, and I even had to stop fighting myself, so that I'm a body too. So we stop fighting, and for me, when I stop fighting, I start surrendering to the program and the God of the universe. So thank you all for allowing me to share. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, Dion R. from Ohio. Yes, absolutely. Next up for 3 minutes, we'll hear from Nancy G. from New Jersey, and then we'll have time to take probably two more to comment on the last two paragraphs on page 103. So for now, we're going to listen up to Nancy. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Nancy G. from New Jersey. I'm solidly on step one, as I learned very quickly. No one wants to admit that they're different so from other people or that I have this disease, but I believe it. And solidly in step one about the unmanageability of my life. You know, if my attitude is one of bitterness and hostility, like it says on 103, which it was last night, and I wrote this morning to God, save me from compulsive overeating. Remind me to turn to you. Call a fellow, listen to a program, resource, write, pray, anything to remove these defects. I'm short-tempered, angry, impatient. I want recognition for all I'm doing, right? So I'm so ego-centered. But I want to be free from that. So I'm in step one. I'm doing the work. I'm calling until I can talk to three people and not, you know, I had to call 10 people the other day because people couldn't answer the phone. So I had to call till I got to three people. And yes, my problems are all of my making. Because I'm looking at everybody else's defects, and this anger and this unsettledness is just builds and builds, and I don't have the food to turn to, and so I can't go back to that faulty solution of food. I'm just so grateful that there's this program, and people don't think the way I think. You know, last night I had a conversation. People don't think or do or behave what I want, what I expect, what I think is right. But I can still have peace. I want to be peaceful. I want to be recovered. I want to say, hi, I'm Nancy G from New Jersey, a recovered, compulsive overeater. And I can only do that by staying out of the food today, taking a lot of action. And I love phone calls. I am on the list, Nancy G from New Jersey. Thank you for your service. I passed.
Thank you very much, Nancy G from New Jersey. Time's going to allow for about three more shares on the last two paragraphs on page 103. If you'd like to join in with that opportunity, you know, we only get to share every 3 days. So here's an opportunity for us all. Starts with someday we hope and ends with we have to. Who would like to comment on those two paragraphs?
Kimberly W. from Illinois.
I heard what? I heard somebody from Illinois. That's one, but I don't think that was first.
Annette M.
Annette M.
Lynn. Kathleen W. from Illinois.
Kathleen, that's who it was, from Illinois. You'll go up first, then an N. Annette, we'll go after that. M. Okay, who else? I can take one more, probably.
Lynette P.
Lynette P. Okay, let's go with that and see what happens. Okay, first up, Kathleen W. from Illinois, followed by Annette. Your 3 minutes start right now.
Good morning, family. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Yeah, you just come in swinging, madam.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm Kathleen W. from Illinois, and I just wanted to claim my seat today. I love this. I'm so grateful for all of the sharers that were today, because I also have beloved children that have the disease of alcoholism. And other things too, you know, compulsively overeating as well. And, you know, it's so great to be reminded again. It really inspired me when I heard about we have to stop fighting anybody or anything, that I need to just put them in God's hands. Because though I don't fight with them outwardly, there's a horrible struggle in me from time to time of just obsessing about, you know, the fear of the future of what's going to happen to them in their lives if they continue the way they're going. And of course, you know, I don't want anything. I don't want them to suffer, but that's what I have to let go of. I have to let them suffer whatever consequences, because that's what brought me closer to my higher power. That's what brought me closer to God. The suffering that, my own disease caused me. And so this was a great reminder today. It's also on page 84. And even when I first heard this, I was in another program, and it really freed me. I need to hear this, to stop fighting anybody or anything, including myself, to stop struggling, to put put my beloved children in the hands of God, and rest and take care of my own issues, you know. So, and one of them is codependency, which causes this obsession with other people's problems. And so I have to pray, God, help me to focus on what my issues are. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Next up is Annette M. Your 3 minutes. Start right now.
Hi, it's Annette M. from Toronto, Canada, gratefully recovered. Thank you for your shares. You know, when I read the word someday we hope, you know, I've learned in program that anything I hope for, anything I want as an outcome is self-seeking, even if it has positive motivation, it's just self-seeking, and I can't worry about that. And it really has to go to God, and God, you know, no circumstances, nothing, whether or not people agree with the program or they don't, or doctors do or they don't, whether or not, you know, kids will be what they will be. I can't be self-seeking. I can't, you know, I can, yes, I can hope, but I can't live in that. I have to be present now with God. That's all I have is right now. And I'm grateful that for me, the distinction of food as being the solution to my problem has really been diminished. Like it's gone, and I'm grateful that I know better. That if I even have a thought, I know where my thinking has to go. It has to go to God. It has to go to taking an action. I know that I'm in my will. And I'm happy I have that as my barometer to let me know, you know, or if I'm restless, irritable. I know I can't allow that for myself because that's another barometer, because that will lead me to the food thoughts, the food, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, with that, I pass. And thank you all for being here and sharing.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Next up would be Lynette P. It looks like you have a good 3 minutes, Lynette.
Okay, maybe I'll take less. Thanks, Melanie. Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm Lynette P., recovered in Southern California. So on a personal level, I think my help to the public is through working with newcomers in and out of the meetings, sponsees, returnees, and those who are struggling. Doing so helps me to convey the gravity to them of compulsive overeating and this affliction. Speaking at meetings, speaking individually with others is my way to help get the message across. My experience of the depths that I sank to, including my last major relapse and gaining 100 pounds, that I believe all helped capture the problem I've had. And others who are compulsive overeaters seem to identify. Regarding the bitterness and hostility, that kind of, I don't know, sort of jumped out to me. Of course, I can't have that regarding others and their eating. I have to watch my impatience because I think it can come across as judgmental, being judgmental, criticism, superiority on my part, and I'm not above others who are struggling or coming to terms with their addiction. Years ago, I had a sponsor who was quite verbally abusive, judgmental, impatient, and I don't think that's the way to sponsor, to talk to others who are trying to get abstinent and working towards recovery. I think hostility is the last thing anybody wants to experience, and I actually like to be useful to those who have difficulty getting abstinent or who have a history of relapse, because that's me. I think I can be uniquely useful to them in this area. And I'm learning and practicing to keep an open mind, to be patient and understanding, and to not let any critical shortcomings interfere. That's my goal, one of them anyways. So I love the directions in this chapter, which I find helpful and refer to as I work with others. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Lynette P. And that just wraps up this last bit of the meeting here, the recorded portion, as we start into the last 10 minutes of our particular meeting. I would like to ask, let's see, Lynette P., actually, to read on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and I'll follow that with a serenity prayer as we transition into the last 10 minutes of unrecorded meeting. You don't want to miss that. There's opportunities to take down phone numbers. Good morning, Lynette.
Hi. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us who, as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.